Good day, friends. As we take another look at the Bible on the broadcast today, we're going to get into a subject that may be of interest to a good many of you. The subject we're going to discuss today is words to a preacher. And I want to read those words that the Apostle Paul gave to the young evangelist Timothy from the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, words that you probably have heard time and time again. He said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine." Certainly one of the great qualification items that goes for the work of an evangelist. And someone might say, well, why would you consider this to be important on the broadcast today as we take a look at the Bible? I believe that the Lord has selected the means of preaching the gospel truly as a course that is to be followed if men are to be saved from their sins. We do not subscribe to the theory that's held by some, and perhaps they're honest people, we're not doubting that God will tell a man directly from heaven what to do to be saved, or that the Holy Spirit will operate in a manner independently of the spoken or written word. We're aware of the fact that through the instrumentality of mortal man upon this earth, the gospel was to be proclaimed. See, the Lord had said to his apostles before he went to heaven, returning to heaven following his resurrection, he said, "Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." We're aware of the fact that that was in Luke 24:49. It was before Christ did ascend. And then just before he went to heaven, he told them when that power came, they truly would become his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. So we're not saying that the only individuals that can preach the word or tell people what to do to be saved are preachers or evangelists. But I think there's an interesting aspect here that would set a tone for all proclamation of the gospel, whether it be privately or whether it be publicly. You know, I'm especially interested, and we often give this advice when we're talking to people, and especially to those who are aspiring to go forth as preachers of the gospel, to keep in mind the great example of one of the outstanding evangelists in the first century, namely Philip, who lived in the city of Caesarea, who had the four daughters that prophesied, and who apparently was one of the seven that's mentioned in the sixth chapter of Acts that was appointed to see that the Grecian widows were not neglected in the daily ministration. It was this Philip that went forth after the dispersion there, following the stoning, we might say, of Stephen. It was after the stoning of Stephen. And we have the record in the eighth chapter of Acts in verse 5 that he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to men and women in that city. Also, he encountered Simon the sorcerer there, and when there had been both men and women, as well as Simon the sorcerer, we don't know how many that obeyed the gospel, believed and were baptized, then Philip was told to go down to a desolate area where he would talk to a man who was on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. That's the famous account couched away in the last part of the eighth chapter of the book of Acts, telling us in a very definite fashion how this man became a follower of Jesus. The man in the chariot was the secretary of the treasury of Queen Candace of the Ethiopians, according to the record. He'd been up to Jerusalem for worship, which indicates that he was either a Jew or he could have been a proselyte, one who was a Gentile that came to the Jewish faith. That's incidental. But the important thing is that this man, as we meet him, is riding along, reading from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, as we have it, questions on his mind about who the prophet is talking about, himself or some other man. I think most of you know that have read that accounting, as well as the accounting in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, know that Isaiah was forecasting by inspiration of the Holy Spirit the coming of Jesus, the Son of God. There was a question on the mind of the man in the chariot. Who is this prophet talking about? Who is the sheep? Who is the lamb? Who is taken into judgment? And who actually has his life taken from the earth? I've often wondered when I've read this if the man from Ethiopia had any idea that this was a Messiah. He may have had some idea. But you recall the record as we pick it up there in the 8th chapter of Acts, told Philip to go near and join himself to the chariot. The evangelist ran to the opportunity to tell the story of Christ to this man. You know, this sets up the first interesting thing that is associated with preaching the word, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2. You know, this man, Philip, had preached to many, many people in the city of Samaria. We don't know how many. There had been a great ingathering of souls there, of men and women, and he had even been able, by the proclamation of the gospel under the influence of the Holy Spirit, to lead Simon the sorcerer to the Lord. And you know, sometimes it might be that a preacher would think, well, if I can get a big crowd of people to talk to, that's when I'll speak. But here's a case, as far as we know, after he talked to all those people in Samaria, that now he's called upon to talk to one individual. Let's just say, for sake of argument on the broadcast today, that the man from Ethiopia was the only one in the chariot. You see, the point is that we are not judged as continents. We are not judged as nations. We are not judged as cities, small towns, rural areas, or even as a family of people. Pardon me. But we are judged as individuals. We'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. We know that righteous people can encourage us to do the right thing, just as evil people can, we might say, try to sway us to do the wrong thing. But in the final analysis, it's an individual matter between the person and God. So whether you're talking to a multitude of people, like I am certain I am on this broadcast today, or whether you're talking to one person, keep in mind that one soul is worth more than all the world put together. Jesus said, "What is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what could he give, might we say, of worldly goods in exchange for his soul?" So Philip ran to the chariot. That's the kind of preacher he was. He wasn't concerned whether the man was going to pay him. He wasn't concerned about what the circumstance would be, how favorable it would be. He simply saw an opportunity from what the Spirit told him to go near and join himself to the chariot. Well, he asked the man if he understood what he was reading. And the fellow had the right attitude because he said, "How can I except some man guide me?" But I want you to notice how he guided him. When he asked him the question who the prophet was talking about, himself or some other man, and the scriptures referred to there in the 8th chapter of Acts from Isaiah 53, the book just simply says that Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. A good old brother told me one time when we were talking about this, he said, "You know, preacher, here is an evangelist that began with the Bible and stayed with the Bible." And you know, he was doing that I might get the full benefit of the importance of doing that. Now, I want to stay with the Bible. But that's good advice, and that's not alone good advice for preachers. It's good advice for everybody. But then the interesting factor that he stayed with the Bible, he preached Christ unto the man. There are a lot of things he could have talked about. In other words, if Philip had reason from a human standpoint, he could have thought, well, here's a fella that's just been up to Jerusalem there under the influence of the chief priests. Let me tell him how mean they have been to the saints of the Lord. Let me tell him how that they killed this righteous man, Stephen. And you can read about that. See, Philip and Stephen were of the seven people that were given the job or the task of being sure that the Grecian widows were not neglected. Philip was able to go forth and preach the gospel from beyond the confines of Jerusalem. Stephen was stoned. But you see, if he'd have spent all the time in telling this man how bad the Jews were, if he'd have spent all this time in talking about those things, he would have never answered the man's question. I think a lot of times that people are too interested, we might say, in talking about material things. They do not get to the point in telling people what must be done to become a Christian. So I think as we take a look at the Word of God that it's good for preachers to receive an exhortation too. And I'm saying this not alone for your benefit, if you are a preacher of the gospel and listening, but I'm saying it for my own benefit. There's enough in the Word of God to simply preach what the Bible has to offer. Oftentimes, people seem to get the idea that they have to offer something new. Well, may I tell you, friends, and I know when I talk to you on this station, and when I talk to people in their homes, and sick people, and people who are mourning, whatever the circumstance may be, I'm telling them things that probably have been stated time and time again. But it's like the old song that says, "I love to tell the story." It's a new and glorious theme,
because it talks about a new and glorious day. But this is pretty good advice for all of us who proclaim the Word of God and who tell people about Jesus. To preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. Always be ready to give an answer to anyone who asketh the reason of the hope that's within you with meekness and fear. And also realize that salvation is spoken of as a now situation. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So may I offer this teaching from the Word of God as we look at the Word today. Words of wisdom that have come from the Word of God by the Apostle Paul. He goes on to tell Timotheus that the time is going to come when men will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Fables may have good morals, but they're not based on truth. What are you going to do, Timothy? But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Now I know that evangelists are not the only ministers in the church, for every Christian is a minister. But every Christian has a ministry to perform. Paul tells Timotheus that doing the work of an evangelist is a ministry that he is to perform. So this lesson has been directed at preachers of the gospel, but it can benefit all of us. One who has the opportunity of proclaiming the word should do this with a full glory to God, realizing that all of us must be looked upon as servants that are truly weak and needy of the Lord's help. We're going to leave this lesson with you. If you have questions or comments, feel free to send them in. Tell a friend and neighbor about the broadcast and be with us next time as we finish this series with a special tribute from the Word of God.